UK has itself a new government.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis, and for Bill Radke, who's back next week. In the United Kingdom, David Cameron has taken over as prime minister. He's formed a fragile coalition government with rival Liberal Democrats. And now political observers are questioning this big power-sharing deal. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live in London to give us the global business perspective. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So what type of government's been formed?
It's a full coalition government with the Conservatives in the driving seat. They have the key posts of Prime Minister, Finance Chief and Foreign Secretary, while the Liberal Democrats have five cabinet posts, including that of Deputy Prime Minister. This is very unusual for Britain. This is the first time since the Second World War that Britain will be governed by more than one party.
Since World War II. Okay, so I can imagine there must have been some drama involved in all this.
Yes, 5 days of intense negotiations between the parties, culminating in this dramatic moment yesterday evening when Prime Minister Gordon Brown made the traditional trek up to Buckingham Palace to hand in his resignation to the Queen. It's called the kissing of hands. That's the ceremony. The Queen then, as custom dictates, formally invited Conservative leader David Cameron to form a new government.
Such pomp and circumstance. Stephen, can this coalition last?
David Cameron says, yes, it can, it must, and the Liberal Democrat leader, Nick Clegg, is optimistic.
I hope this is the start of the new politics where politicians of different persuasions come together, overcome their differences in order to deliver the good government for the sake of the whole country.
But it's going to be tricky. The two parties have their differences over economic policy in particular. Cynics say it won't be too long before the two parties are fighting like ferrets in a sack.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard joining us from London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
European shares are mostly higher at the moment. London's FTSE's added 0.25%. Wall Street yesterday was mixed, but the Dow did fall 36 points to 10,748. Major Asian shares dropped today amid concerns about global economic growth. Investors are keeping an eye out for another bubble, this one in China. Gas, food, and consumer prices are way up. So now a key Chinese bank advisor says it's time to raise interest rates there. From Shanghai, here's Marketplace's Scott Tong.
The central bank advisor says he frets about the danger of inflation. Consumer prices in China rose almost 3% in April, the most in a year and a half. Some call that a negative real interest rate. Bad for bank customers, bad for banks. Economist Paul Cavey works for a bank, Macquarie Securities.
Interest rates are very low in China, and therefore any rate of inflation already causes real interest rates to be negative. And that's a very strong argument for interest rates to rise.
Argument number two is home prices. Real estate prices sizzled up 12.8% over the past year, reigniting talk of a China housing bubble. If China does hike interest rates, some investors fear it'll cool things down too much. That would hurt Chinese demand for things like American cars, iPhones, and U.S. debt. Economist Cavey thinks Beijing has another tool in the kit that it will employ very soon, strengthening the currency. That would make it cheaper for Chinese consumers to buy foreign goods and moderate inflation pressure. One added benefit? It would moderate political pressure from Washington. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Citrix, offering GoToMeeting, allowing people to hold meetings online to collaborate in real time. More at gotomeeting.com/market. By LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com. And by Novo Nordisk, committed to changing diabetes through treatments, partnerships, and education. Defeating diabetes is our passion and our business.
Gas prices usually go up in the summer, so you'd think transit systems would take advantage of that, of people wanting to flee their cars. Los Angeles Times columnist David Lazarus says they're not doing enough to woo the masses to mass transit. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Are people more inclined, do you think, because gas prices are going up, and typically in the summer they do go up, do you think they're more inclined to use mass transit?
They will be. We saw when pump prices approached $4 or so in California last time, ridership went up. But as soon as pump prices started coming down again, ridership went down. So obviously, when gas prices go up again, and they will, we will see ridership coming up with them. But that's not going to be enough to get a lot of these systems over the hump. For example, the LA County Metropolitan Transportation Authority, it's the big dog in Southern California.
Oh, yeah.
They're looking at a $181 million budget shortfall coming up in the next fiscal year. So I don't care how much ridership comes up as a factor of pump prices. You've got to bring it up even higher to put this thing in the black. And I don't think they're concentrating on that.
So convince me. I'm on the fence. I can, if I wanted to, use mass transit. Why should I?
Well, let's say that it was not only an easier thing to do, but it was actually a more productive thing to do. I mean, for example, I spent a couple of hours on the freeway every day. It's a miserable time.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm listening to the radio, but I could be making much better use of my time. Let's say that public transportation was able to offer comfort. The buses need to be clean. They need to be comfortable. Let's say there was Wi-Fi on board. You take out your iPad. You take out your laptop. Suddenly, the bus becomes far more attractive than the car. That's what public transportation needs to be selling.
You say it's doable. Will it be done?
It's tricky. Right now, it looks like a lot of transit operators nationwide see themselves as little islands. They look at how do we meet our nut? How do we get our fares up? Instead of how do we integrate with other transit systems in our region so that people will find this as a good way to traverse vast geographies, which is increasingly the case as people live farther and farther from their jobs. They're not doing that. Bus lanes will help. Express lines will help. Information technology. There should be websites in every metropolitan region that will bring all of the transit systems together, including their schedules, including where they run, and help people figure out a route that'll get from point A to point B using multiple systems. Ease of use, that's what they need to be selling.
David Lazarus from the Los Angeles Times. David, thanks.
Thank you.
And finally, if you work extra hours, don't look for a healthy reward. A British study published in the European Heart Journal found workers who clock 3 to 4 hours of overtime a day, have higher incidence of heart problems. And that doesn't take into account those who are unhealthy to begin with. Say bosses who demand such devotion, thanks for putting your heart into it. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.